B-Pod Studios.
8-5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. You are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Here's another security solution from the Flying Locksmiths.
Hi, this is Angela Ponte, broker associate at Classic Homes Real Estate. I've been a client of Flying Locksmiths for a number of years, as well as my company. We work a lot with out-of-state banks who own properties in Massachusetts, and we have relied on the Flying Locksmiths to help us to rekey properties and to also to be able to enter our properties that we no longer have the keys to. And they've been really very professional, very efficient, do a great job.
To find out more about this option or how their customized solutions can help your company, check out the Flying Locksmiths at flyinglocksmiths.com.
Hi, it's Sue from Pride Motor Group. The leaves are falling and the foliage around New England is so beautiful. At Pride Kia of Lynn, we have a full lineup of safe and dependable all-wheel drive SUVs that are amazingly affordable. Now is the right time for your new Kia.
This month, lease a brand new 2020 Kia Sportage LX all-wheel drive for only $179 per month for 36 months and 10,000 miles per year with $34.99 due at signing and no security deposit required.
Come feel the difference at Pride Kia on the Linway in Lynn or at pridekiaoflynn.com.
Stock number 9262, tax title, registration, dealer, admin fee, and acquisition fee.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hutchins, Senior Vice President at Gilbane Building Company, based in Boston. Gilbane is one of the largest construction managers in the United States, and we've been signatory to the Carpenters Union for 10 years. The relationship with the Carpenters Union is not just to provide the labor for our projects, but to be a partner in today's construction world. It's the men and women of the Carpenters Union that are providing us with a finished product that we all can be proud of.
Build your business with the North Atlantic States Carpenters Union. Visit NASRCC.org.
Buying a home is a big deal, and Fly Homes is in Boston to help you get a home you love with a team of local agents who are excited to make it happen. With financial innovations that benefit you and the home seller, Fly Homes makes your offer stand out. Plus, Fly Homes offers mortgage services you can choose to use. Fly Homes is your Boston real estate company that makes it simpler to buy and sell at the same time, too. Fly Homes Trade Up was designed so you can use the equity in your home before you sell it. Plus, you'll only have to move once. Simpler, more fun. That's Fly Homes. Learn more at flyhomes.com.
This week on Prop Swap, a Los Angeles baseball ticket to win it all sold at odds of 5-1. That's right, 5-1, when every local casino has odds of just plus 250. It's obvious. Prop Swap customers always find incredible prices because you're buying directly from other bettors just like yourself. That's why I always use Prop Swap. Come join me. Prop Swap is the edge you've been searching for. Don't delay. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the Prop Swap app. Prop Swap, where America buys and sells prop bets.
The COVID-19 pandemic has left us all feeling less certain, less secure, and more isolated. For those struggling with addiction to drugs or alcohol, the isolation and loss of safe treatment options has made the difficult feel impossible. If you or a loved one is currently battling addiction, Aware Recovery Care's unique in-home addiction rehab program is an exceptional safe pandemic solution. And we're available wherever you need us, in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. We offer full in-home addiction treatment that can be delivered both remotely or in person by expertly trained staff equipped with advanced infection control gear. What's more, each client is assessed regularly by an addiction nurse, and there are regular virtual visits from Aware's highly skilled addiction treatment specialist. If you or someone you love is struggling with an addiction in Massachusetts or New Hampshire right now, call Aware Recovery Care at 844-AWARE-RC or visit awarerecoverycare.com to learn more. We're ready to help where and when you need us most.
Kids eat free at the 99 restaurants every Sunday in October. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids can get a free meal on the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. The 99 restaurants, always the real deal.
Cumberland Farms hot or iced coffee, still just 99 cents any size every day. You make it like you take it. So your coffee is always just the way that you like it. Stop by Cumberland Farms today and enjoy yours for just 99 cents any size.
The New England Patriots finally get back onto the field at Gillette Sunday afternoon for an AFC matchup against the Denver Broncos.
Newton to the pylon.
Got
touchdown.
It.
Yeah.
Pre-game on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network starts at 10, followed by the call of the game at 1 with Bob Sosi and Scott Zolak.
He walks into the end zone. Touchdown.
Get ready for some Sunday football as the Pats go for win number 3 on your home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, more Touch or Rich.
Fletcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Are you ready? Give me the green light, go. Tires burn the pavement, people want to know where Mace, Posse, and Dave went. Still here, still in your ear with a style so hot, you'll see where all the sun rays went. Legs, arms, and head, all being moved in a frenzy. The blends be all the right cred.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, DJ Shadow. It's with De La Soul. With
That's the best song we play on Friday. There's no question. This is my favorite one.
You got a little old school in your brain.
Just that beat. It was really good, man.
Is this on the Fred Toucher Spotify Instagram playlist?
Thank you, at Fred Toucher on Instagram. It is the Fred Toucher Funk Friday playlist. 2 hours of music for you to enjoy as you have to drive your young one to an away game very far away. You'll be happy to know that that game will probably not take place tomorrow, as it will be, we will be deluged with rain over the next 36 hours. So,
good clam places in Essex, man.
Yeah,
if
well,
you go.
I am not going to be attending Essex because I am not sitting in a mud field.
Is that where Woodman's is?
Yes.
Oh, Woodman's.
Yep, the clam box in Ipswich.
Where 98% of the things on the menu are fried.
Oh, yeah. It's all fried. None of it's good for you, but it's fantastic.
It's fried everything and then corn on the cob.
Yep, exactly right.
The clam box, really?
Yeah.
I mean, repetitive. All right. Let's go to Bert Breer. He's the senior NFL and lead content strategist for the MMQB, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline Zoom. Bert Breer, we talked about the situation with the Colts, and we'll see how that pans out, which is what you do now. You got to just kind of see what happens. But Le'Veon Bell, released by the Jets. The courting process for Le'Veon Bell, and for people who haven't watched Le'Veon Bell over the last, I guess even his last year in Pittsburgh, really, but for people who haven't watched Le'Veon Bell and seen his fluctuations in weight and his inability to have any kind of explosiveness or break any kind of long yardage, can you kind of tell the courting process and why the Jets got rid of him, the whole nine, everything?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, you know, that last year, obviously things were sideways. Now his, you know, yards per carry went down that first year or that last year in Pittsburgh in 2017. And then I remember, if you guys remember, like 18, there were like rumors he was going to come back week 6, then he was going to come back week 10. And I'd actually heard, you know, during that year that one of the reasons he didn't come back is because he had gotten up to about 270.
Yep.
So, like, there was rumors about how he was handling his year off, and that was why when we got to free agency in March of 19, most teams wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
By the way, can we put in kind of context what 270 on Le'Veon Bell would look like?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I think his fighting weight is probably 225.
Yep.
Right? Like
and he's
pulling Jamarcus Russell.
He's not 6'7". More like Pablo Sandoval.
He had some fun down there in Miami. Do you guys remember the story? There might have been some polygamy going on down there.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Tell the story.
Well, I don't think he's Mormon, but there was a situation where, you know, he had a he was in a roommate situation with two other people. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And apparently that led to Fred, you might remember this better than I do. Didn't they steal his chain or something like that?
There was a robbery.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
now
right.
I remember this.
That's
yes.
It. Okay.
Yeah. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He had a colorful year off.
Was, and by the way, he got up to 230 while he was playing with the Jets, and his playing weight's not is not 230 is very
heavy.
Probably
like 220. I think it was like a 220, 222, something like that was where he was at his best. Anyway, so like most teams knew about this, and if you guys remember that first day of free agency. I can still remember it because I was on the Acela coming home from the office. It might have been the second day of free agency. And there were these rumors about all these teams that weren't like interested. And so one by one, I started texting people with all the different teams. And to a man, like every single one of them was, we haven't talked to anybody about him. We're not doing like the Ravens, the Colts, like all these different teams. And my understanding was at the end, there were two teams in on him. One was the Niners, who offered him like a low end 1 year deal. And then you had the Jets, who were bidding against themselves. And if you guys remember, like Mike Maccagnan was sort of on his last legs at the time. And there was some pressure from ownership to get this done, to get him signed. Meanwhile, the head coach, Adam Gase, didn't want him at all. And when the signing happened, just sort of vanished from the building for 48 hours. He was so upset about it. So that was sort of the beginning of the Le'Veon Bell era with the Jets. And if the warning signs weren't there at that point, they came pretty quickly after, because he was not anywhere close to Pittsburgh Le'Veon Bell last year.
Okay. How close were the Patriots? Because there were stories about them potentially revolting is not the word, but when they were obviously pissed at what happened last week, having to get in the plane. You heard Jason McCourty, just the Twitter activity of guys like James White after, you know, it was announced that there was another COVID test and that they were going to continue to play. And before the game was moved to this weekend, there was talk about there being a revolt amongst the players. What did you hear about that?
Yeah, and remember, like, going back to summer, which team had the most opt-outs? And we talked about this, right? The end of July. Yeah. Like, what team would be most likely to have opt-outs? Older players, more educated players, guys who already have money and accomplishment and don't need this.
Like the pension.
Right. There are so many guys in the roster that sort of fell into that category. And some of those guys, the McCourty twins, Matthew Slater, did wind up playing. And so those guys are still there. And so those guys are going to approach this a little bit differently. This isn't, I mean, the leaders in the team, you're not talking about guys who are, you know, making $900,000 and might be out of the league in 2 years. That's not who these guys are, you know? And so I think this was sort of, you know, this was the league's, I would say this was the league's approach to all of this, finally clashing with a team that had players who have the leverage to push back. And the league's approach from the beginning, and this goes back to free agency, the draft, everything, has been put your head down and get through it. Just get through it, get through it, get through it. And when we get to the regular season, get games played. Doesn't matter who's out there. Doesn't matter how it looks. Get games played. Give the television networks their inventory. And so they finally ran into a team where there were players that had the leverage to push back. There are lots of teams that don't have those sorts of players. But I think that they're... I would tell you that there are players across the league that feel the way that a lot of the Patriots felt. I think, you know, here now, like a situation was sort of generated where the Patriots were put into one of these spots where they were going to do some stuff that I think is sort of like borderline. And, you know, the league finally ran into a team with players that have the pelts on the wall to push back.
But real quick, Bill Belichick seems to be getting a lot of fans in the locker room from these players who are like that. Like, how much pushback personally is he giving the league? Because it sounds like he's been on the phone with the NFL, like working the phones with these guys, trying to lobby for, as you know, he apparently did before going to Kansas City, bigger locker rooms. They didn't give it to him, but. Like, what's he been like behind the scenes? Because apparently he's been a number one behind all of this.
So, like, you guys know how they've had these conference calls, right, where the head coaches and the GMs will be in on it, right? I've been told that Bill Belichick has been, if not the most vocal, one of the most vocal people on those calls. And not only is he vocal, like, to the other people, to the executives who are on these calls, to the GMs, to the other head coaches who are on these calls, he sounds like he's very educated too on it. Like, this isn't just some guy popping on and say, hey, what do I do if this happens? It's like a guy who's well read on the subject, who's studied the subject. And so, like, it sounds to me, at least having talked to people who are on these calls, you know, dozens of people who are on these calls, that what they're saying is that Bill has really, really educated himself and he's really involved himself in how the league is handling this. And, you know, to be honest with you, Rich, I think that that's something that players are smart enough to pick up on that. Like, players are smart enough to know if the guy who's standing in front of the room knows what the hell they're talking about when they're discussing this, you know? And so I'm sure if you're a player and you're sitting there in an auditorium and your head coach sounds like he's really studied up on the best way to handle this, you probably feel a little bit better about that guy, because that guy is, you know, in large part, like, kind of in, like, the manager of your well-being over the next few months.
It's also got to be interesting for him, because it's another little thing to try to get the upper hand on, you know? It's
I think it's
going to be interesting, you know?
There's definitely, you know what, the other part that's interesting, Fred, is, like, that's another dynamic as far as, you know, kind of keeping your team engaged, right?
Right.
So, like, that's, if you're a player right now, like, who's the head coach you're going to respond to? The head coach you're going to respond to right now, in part, is going to be the one who's keeping you safe, right? The one who's doing the most he possibly can to keep you from getting COVID. And so if you're one of these players, especially if you're one who has any sort of underlying condition or has any sort of family member who's at risk, you know, if you've got a guy, if your head coach is somebody who looks like he really gives a crap and is educating himself and is, you know, taking care of the team, you're going to respond to that guy, because it, like, that guy, like, is going to come off as somebody who really cares about you.
Belichick's very smart. Very smart. It's got to be a wrinkle that, you know, he saw a wrinkle, and it's a wrinkle that he can exploit. And that's not being cynical. It's a wrinkle that he can exploit.
No, and it's availability. I mean, right. It's the availability of players, too, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, how do I keep the most players available? The way I keep, because, you know, like, sometimes people make the mistake of, like, arguing on, like, I've heard football coaches argue until they're blue in the face about, like, you know, well, like, is this, you know, is this that serious? Is it, like, well, look, the bottom line is, no matter how serious you think COVID is, and I know there's differing opinions out there on that, if your player tests positive, he can't play for you.
Right.
That's it. Like, right? Like, so no matter how serious you think it is, if you have guys test positive, those guys can't play for you. So it behooves you to take it really seriously.
Yep. All right. We'll be back with more from Burt Breer. Lots to talk about around the league. We will continue all of that. Here are the headlines.
I've never even heard of the Vanity Six.
Yes, you
I didn't know
have.
That oh, Vanity
if we
did play,
if
thing.
We played the song, you'd know.
I think you're a nasty girl.
I just remember she was the arm candy in Action Jackson.
Yes.
The Carl Weathers.
Craig T. Nelson's girl, and then she was Craig T. Nelson's girl, yeah.
And I mean, she was married to Action Jackson's she girl. Was married to a member of the Oakland Raiders, and she became very, very religious.
That's right.
Oh, everyone's
disavowed her entire 80s thing.
Everyone's enjoyed Vanity. Everyone has at one point, if you're of a certain age, sat down and enjoyed Vanity.
I remember an imaginary date. My dad brought me to see Action Jackson when I was just like a kid, and that movie's like dirty as hell. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, really dirty. And I remember when we left, my dad looked at me and goes, "To be fair, don't tell your mom about anything that was in this movie." And I was like, "You got it." Like, we didn't realize it going in, and even then, it was like really awkward sitting next to your dad in some of these scenes. Like, it was really dirty.
Yeah, my father took me to Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip.
Oh boy!
When I was really young, and
he knows what he's getting into. No, it's Richard Pryor.
I know, but he didn't realize how bad it was.
Well, and what
I
is had he, the an same, idiot?
It was the same conversation. My father didn't know. He's like,
"How the hell would you didn't know? How no, no, what, that
I don't
was
know.
Pryor's whole act?
I know
that's
that.
Who he is.
I know that. I know what. And
you know this Andrew Dice Clay show? I thought it was just going to be, you know, like Jeff Foxworthy.
I heard this Kinison fellow who used to be a preacher.
My dad, who was a well-educated man, had no idea what we were getting into somehow. And then I had the same conversation with him when we got out of there. Don't tell your mom. Don't tell your mom.
In fairness, Richard Pryor was pretty underground when he released his concert film.
I know.
He wasn't the biggest comic of all time.
I know.
All right, 617-779-0985. Your biggest don't tell your mom moment.
My parents, I've told this before, my parents took me to it was a double feature of Car Wash and what was the prior movie?
Stir Crazy.
Okay, okay.
And there were boobies, and that was the only time my parents were like, but we were on because my mom was afraid to fly for a while, so we would have to drive to Florida, so we'd have to stop somewhere and had to be at a stupid Knights Inn because my parents could stay for free there because they were a client of my father's agency.
Yeah.
And so, we were desperate for, entertainment one time. So they took me to this drive-in, and, there were babes, as they say in France.
Yeah, that was, several don't
cars.
Tell your dad.
It was used cars in Stir Crazy, which I believe that must have been when I was four or five.
Is Used Cars Kurt Russell? That's a Kurt Russell film, right?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
That's what I thought. I mean, there were several movies that were like that, but I just remember that one of all of them being like, whoa, this is like, even for me, I was like, this is way dirtier than I thought it was going to be. And my dad just felt like, he's like, all right, dude, just don't tell your mom anything that went on.
Yeah, that's my boy was the other day was odd because, I forget it.
I know what you're saying. I mean, that's my point, because you reminded me of something that was in. I was like, oh, boy, the grandma thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was whatever. It was like the whole teacher thing, and I think that was resonating a little bit. Okay. So, I think that was the thing, and it was like, oh, well, okay.
What are our listeners saying about John? I thought Andrew Dice Clay was kid-friendly because he recites nursery rhymes.
That's right. Yeah, Sam Kinison was a preacher.
One of my father's catastrophic errors in judgment.
It's so funny that there's no way he didn't know what he was getting into. I mean, that was Pryor's whole act.
Yep.
I think he might say the N-word in this.
I don't know.
Oh, he says it 500 times. Yeah. Okay.
I can't think of anything that, like, in adulthood matches the uncomfortability of sitting next to your parents while, like, a love scene is going on in a movie when you were a kid. It was the worst feeling in the world.
My kids just really don't care. To them, we don't watch many movies together, but they don't care. They really don't. And to me, it's uncomfortable, but to them, it's not. There's no uncomfortable. My daughter may be a little. My son, not at all. Not at all.
Oh,
he's very vocal. Vocal about his enjoyment of certain, like, he'll be like, oh, she's hot. And you're like, okay, dude. This just got weird. Let's keep it to ourselves.
Is that Bert? Is Bert back with us?
Yeah, Bert is back on the old Sumaru. All right, so
I can chime in on that too. Like, I had my dad let me watch Stripes when I was really young, and I don't know that he knew it was bad, but that was on, like, that was at home.
Yeah.
Where my dad first slipped up, I was 9 years old, and he took me to Major League. And I think, like, because it was a baseball movie, he thought it was okay, even though I believe it was rated R, right? And I had that talk coming out of the theater as a 9 year old in an R movie. Like,
what was in Major League?
All right, so, well, there was a lot of, like, the didn't the owner get
she had a bikini on underneath that thing they were taking the pieces off of.
First of all, there's plausible deniability topless if she's a woman. So we're dealing with very tiny breasts,
but Major League was R, right? Like, there was some stuff in Major League.
Yeah, but it was about, like, it's people hooking up. Like, it was Tom Berenger's wife was hooking up with, like, you know, the Wild Thing and all that. Yeah, yeah.
Very... That was the first time I can remember my dad telling me, like, to not tell my mom about certain things that we, or not talk about certain things that we'd seen in
that
movie.
Very puritanical.
Yeah, well, I was 9 years old, so.
Oh, the Major League. Vacation has some sneaky nudity.
Oh, yeah. Of course it does.
Yeah.
Stripes had some stuff in it, too.
Yeah, Stripes has nudity, I think.
Oh, yeah,
right. It does.
It does.
Because in an 80s sitcom, or an 80s sitcom, 80s romp comedy, they just stuck nudity in. Like, there was a lot of it. Like, Caddyshack has nudity. I played Vacation because we were on a roll. One winter, and it got to the point where it was Vacation's turn, and I was like, wow, there's more nudity than I remembered, but they were young enough where it didn't register with them. They didn't say anything and didn't look like it was weird, and so I didn't say nothing. So that was that with Vacation. But yeah, there's nudity in most of these. If it's a Dan Aykroyd film or a Bill Murray film, it seems like there's generally nudity. I would think Tootsie has nudity.
Tootsie?
Does it?
I don't know about that.
I don't remember that.
Wouldn't you guess? Because I haven't seen Tootsie. Tootsie's a good movie.
But is it?
Yes. Tootsie. Dustin Hoffman's fantastic in Tootsie. Bill Murray's fantastic in Tootsie.
Was that a Dabney Coleman film?
Dabney Coleman was a jerk.
What a shock.
9 to 5.
Really?
That's right. Well, he's also Buffalo Bill. Uh-huh. Do you remember the show Buffalo Bill? Jimmy Barron used to say I reminded him of Buffalo Bill.
No.
And then I watched Buffalo Bill and I go, you don't think very highly of me.
You see, I immediately think Silence of the Lambs and the guy who's, like, throwing people in a well. Sure that's not what he meant?
Well, maybe, perhaps. what was I going to say? Because I would have to imagine that the lead... woman, the love interest of Tootsie is...
Jessica Lange, right?
It is Jessica Lange, a young Jessica Lange.
Very young.
Very beautiful Jessica Lange, and that. Yep. Also small breasts, but nonetheless. I would imagine she was topless in it, I'd have to think. It was almost a prerequisite. That's right, Fido.
Whose dog is that?
That's my dog.
Fido's starting to present.
I don't know why he's going crazy now, but you guys wanted the Zoom mic, so that's what it picks up, like, literally.
Oh, I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Who gives a rat's ass? Casey, go ahead.
I used to always go to Cape Cod to visit my grandparents with my parents. They're always looking for entertainment down in that area. And my parents saw a comedy show to bring me to at the Melody Tent. It was George Carlin.
No, but that would be so far over a kid's head. Like, I thought Carlin sucked for years and years and years. And then I saw him when I was an adult, and it was like, oh, he's really good.
Well, what's his biggest joke, Fred? I mean, think about that.
The
seven words you can't say. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's kind of his biggest joke.
But did he do, well, that's a routine. Did he do that? I mean, he's got a million sets. Did he do that particular bit?
He did. And I was a little bit older. So I was like 13 or 14, I believe.
You're fine.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that bad. But when he opened it, it was, you know what no one talks about anymore? And I don't think I can say what he said on the air.
Well, when we used to drive to Florida, I had the Steve Martin Wild and Crazy Guy tape, and I didn't have Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler was my age.
Yeah, that was years later.
Yeah, Adam Sandler was like 5 years older than 10 years older than me.
I'll say one situation that I actually felt bad for some parents is that years ago, Mary and I went to go see the Book of Mormon in New York. Like, we went on Broadway to see the Book of Mormon, and over to my left was this mom and dad who brought, like, it was maybe like a 9-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy.
Yeah,
and I'm looking, I'm like, listen, I haven't seen this yet, but I heard it's fairly raunchy. About 15 minutes into it, I'm going, oh my sweet Lord. And I'm looking over at them, and the mother wants to die. Like, there's a song that's so unbelievably dirty.
Yeah.
That's near the beginning. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's right at the beginning.
Gratuitously dirty.
Yeah.
That you can't believe. And I'm looking at them, and I know what they thought. Oh, this won a lot of Tony Awards, not realizing it's the South Park guys going all in. And I'm crying laughing. But then I looked at them, and I actually legitimately felt bad for the parents.
What?
They left after the intermission, of course.
One thing I could suggest for parents to do that will make you feel good is Trey from South Park uses his daughter, or she's probably older now, but would use his daughter for a lot of the voices on South Park, and just the glee of him in the sound booth with his daughter just screaming obscenities when she's like 5 years old is just, you watch and you go, yeah. And he's just like, F you. She's doing it. And the mom's there, and they're, yeah. And you're just like, good for you. Good for you. Because what you could say is that, you know, there are young voice actors doing those lines. All right. Well, Burt Breer, we'll keep an eye on the Colts, and we'll see Le'Veon Bell, and he'll invariably break off a 25-yard run, and everyone will Instagram me and say, "How look at this." Ooh. And then you'll go, well, he's not good anymore. All right, Burt, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All
sorry
right, thanks,
about
guys.
The problems.
No problem. No problem. We'll make it better next week.
Absolutely. Maybe you come in. All right. Well, Nick Saban has Corona, and Florida's not playing. That means Paul Feinbaum. That means Paul Feinbaum, the host of the hickest show in the world, even though he's great. We will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.